Welcome inside the Rams studio connected by AT&T for another edition of Rams Mailbag. I'm Miles Simmons. I'm here with DeMarco Fardy. We've got a lot of questions, so let's get to them right away with Daniel, who asks, did anyone really expect this start to the season, and how far do you think it can go?
Ah, Danielson. I think highest scoring team in the league, and New England is breathing right down your neck. I think that may adjust at some point because it has to because of what New England is doing on defense.
Yes.
I think the Rams are going to be able to score points on anybody. They've built a great structure to this offense, and they're having success, and Jared Goff really seems to be comfortable and growing at the same time. So as long as Todd Gurley continues to give them what he's been giving them through the first quarter of the season and some other weapons start to emerge, Sammy Watkins in particular, I think you can keep up this scoring clip, you know, into the second, third, the entire season.
You'd like to hope so. I think that's the biggest thing, is that this team is the highest scoring team in football right now after scoring 10 points or fewer 9 times in 2016. That, to me, is the most unexpected thing. And if that can continue, that could take the Rams away.
You know, I mean, look, Sean McVay is worth every penny for Jared Goff's maturation and Todd Gurley's emergence. And he's doing things that we didn't think he was capable of doing, as in being a receiver down the field and making things happen. This offensive line is, you know, playing good football. Gerald Everett is a guy that I think will have a lot to say in some victories, you know, come this Sunday and every Sunday throughout. So there's a lot of weapons on this football team. There's a lot left to game plan for Sean McVay, but it seems to be trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Next question is going to come from Dan, and he asked, who will McVay and Goff kind of turn to in order to save Gurley's endurance for the rest of the season? Do you think you'll get more from Watkins, more from Woods?
I think they turn back to Todd Gurley. Yeah, it's 4 games. I don't think he's tired yet, people. Let's stop worrying about it.
Yeah. I don't think he's tired yet either. But right now, Todd Gurley does lead the league in touches with 106. He is second in the league with 596 yards from scrimmage. You also got him leading the league with 7 touchdowns. That's why he was just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week and the NFC Offensive Player of the Month for September.
This is why we have bye weeks. Rest then.
Yes. All right, so this next question is going to come from DVH. He asks, did LA do anything different in the second half against Dallas or just got different results? Did Dallas just not execute? And he says, I see a gap integrity as a significant problem, probably on run defense.
You're talking on defense.
Yes.
Just from my eyes, it seemed like they started to play together more. Mm-hmm. You've got to trust each other. You've got everyone out there, all 11, they have to do their job. You can't do someone else's. If you do, sometimes you can make a play. And you'll talk about it on the bench. Hey, this was wrong, but we got away with it. Don't ever do it again. But sometimes they make you pay, and that's how you see long runs or, you know, passes that get over the top of your head. So I think once they started to sew up the run game and force Dak Prescott or Dallas into throwing more, and then they got after the quarterback, I think that's going to be a Ram defense.
Yeah,
that's how you have a successful Sunday. So there were a few mistakes. I would have loved to have been in that locker room at halftime to hear what was said. I bet it was loud, and I bet it wasn't suitable for work
it probably
or home
was
or
not.
For kids. But
yes.
They came back out with, I wouldn't say fire, but just with a focus on, look, if we play this right, will have a chance to get after him, and they did.
Well, you heard guys talk about in the locker room, and I think I saw this quote from Vince Bonsignor of the Los Angeles Daily News. Connor Barwin was saying that they just had to start trusting what was called and trusting each other. You brought that up about trust on the defense. But it's not that Dallas was doing anything different from what they expected. It's that they just finally were able to say, okay, that's why that's called. We really need to be doing this as it's called, and we have to trust that.
Well, I bet most defenders, when they close their eyes and they think about the game, they're making all the plays.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes making the play is just doing your job, and it could be boring. You may not make a play all day, but you're getting off the field. So eventually it'll come to you. It'll be your chance, and you get to shine. That's what the trust is, that if I do this, I know the next guy is going to do that. There's nowhere for the ball carrier to go. So there's nothing worse than doing your job and doing it right and expecting this guy next to you to do it right But then you see the running back go right by you, and you're like, well, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out on tape we didn't do it right. So that's the trust factor. And when those long runs start to happen and they start to break down a defense, trust erodes, and then it just gets worse. It snowballs. So when you have trust and it starts to work, you build off that.
Yes, exactly. All right, so the next question is going to come from Jamie. She asks, how will Mike Thomas coming back from a suspension affect the wide receiver rotation?
You know, great question. I know that they really like what he brings to a football game and to a football team. He's tall. He's fast. You can put him on pretty much every special team out there, so he can work for you. It may work out in the best sort of ways. It depends on how you count Tavon Austin.
Mm-hmm.
If you count him as a running back, then you've got room at receiver. But at some point, I would expect that Mike Thomas is going to be playing on Sunday. I just didn't know. I don't know in what capacity.
Well, what Sean McVay said on Monday during his press conference is that the Rams will keep the six wide receivers that they currently have on the roster, even when Mike Thomas comes back from that roster exemption that he has right now as we mm-hmm. speak on Wednesday. So the difference is going to be, all right, well, what do you do with everyone else, right?
Good question.
Because what McVay talked about was, look, you've got Tavon Austin, who has kind of emerged as a threat at running back. And Todd Gurley even said this after Sunday's game, that Tavon Austin's kind of a mini running back right now. So if you kind of reclassify Tavon as a running back, then you still only have six receivers, and then that kind of makes things a little different.
That's yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But as far as just pure receiver, if he was knocking on the door trying to get on the field, I don't know which guy you take off.
I don't either.
Yeah, because I think even Josh Reynolds at some point is going to play a major role in victories.
I
and
agree.
He already has. And not receiving the football. That block you made to spring Todd Gurley.
I was just going
to
bring that up. That was
vicious.
A great block.
Yeah, that's
great,
vicious.
Great legal hit. All
yes.
right. Next question. Keith asks, what are the main issues that the Rams have to shore up on run defense going into this game against Seattle?
Just trust. I don't see guys getting manhandled.
Okay.
You know, there were times, like from a Dallas perspective, when Todd Gurley ripped off a few runs on them, there were guys just getting engulfed.
Yeah.
And they were out of their gaps. And they were
yeah.
forced out of their gaps
yes.
by the Rams offensive line. I don't see a lot of that happening with the Rams defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just see mistakes. I see things that are correctable. Manhandling guys or guys that are just, you know, overmatched, you can't do anything about until you get to the offseason. But this you can correct from a Wednesday to Sunday. So I think now everyone's on the same page. I think now everyone understands what Wade Phillips is trying to do defensively. So I would bet from the second quarter on, starting with Seattle, you're going to see a different Rams unit on defense than you saw before Dallas, you know,
yes.
in San Francisco, definitely versus Washington.
Well, I think that this is a good test to see if the Rams have, in fact, turned a corner defensively after that performance in the second half against Dallas, where you only surrendered 6 points.
Right.
So is that the real thing we're going to see? And this is going to be a really good test because Seattle's offense is really good with
yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Well, and I think the Rams have the advantage as far as the defensive line, because I think they'll get after Seattle's offensive line. It's just, you know, trying to, you know, corral and bring down Russell Wilson is like trying to catch wet soap. It's,
yeah.
it's hard. I mean, if you don't do it correctly, he's out again.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're just decimating their whole line, he could still make plays on you. So I think they'll have the advantage there, but getting Russell Wilson on the deck is a different story.
Wet soap. I like that
you
one.
Try to catch wet soap.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Irish Spring.
Last question is going to come from Alfredo before we wrap up. He asks, what weaknesses do you see any in Seattle that Los Angeles can maybe exploit?
Just that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's their Achilles heel right now. But, I mean, the Russell Wilson is good enough to win in spite of it. And I think he's smart enough to understand what he has in front of him. When you watch him on film, it's obvious that he knows that his offensive line can't hold up in pass protection. So he's doing things to protect himself. He's doing things to keep the play alive. And they're playing more of a scramble game on offense. But the thing is, they're still chipping away with the run game. They're
mm-hmm.
still trying. They're still trying to make this group work. So they're not going to get away from it. But if I had to pick one thing as a weakness, I'd say O-line.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And I think you're absolutely right in Russell Wilson being able to still win no matter what happens there up front, because just his elusiveness and the way he can really throw the ball downfield. You saw it last week against Indianapolis and then again against Tennessee 2 weeks before that. This guy can really just fire the ball down the field. And if you let those guys get open, that's what's going to happen. But in order to combat that, got to get that pass rush. Rush and cover go hand in hand.
He's playing with a lot of confidence, and you're going to have to physically take it out of him.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much for your questions. DeMarco and I also just recorded a podcast, Between the Horns. Be sure to check that out on therams.com. And for everything else on the Rams, keep it locked right here to the site.